Hey, I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to be discussing how to get started in property when you are a beginner. And I thought we'd probably start with the most important thing for any investment, whether it's a property investment or any other investment as well, and that is the return on investment. If you're investing in property or whatever it is, nothing matters more than the money that you're going to make from that property. Now, lots of people, when they invest in property, especially in the beginning, they invest in areas that they like. It might be like, you hear a lot of people say, oh, well, my son's going to university, so I thought I'd tie it in and I'd buy a property in Oxford because that's where he's going. It's like, man, what? That makes no sense. The first thing you should be looking at is, how much money am I going to make from this deal? And I see loads of people, I mean, to be fair, it's like the property your dad bought.
Yes.
Right? He was like, oh, it's an investment. It's like, no.
No, and he actually lost money on
it. He actually lost money on the deal.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, it was an investment, kind of, but I'm trying to kill two birds with one stone. And this is why, actually, I think it makes logical sense to not buy your own home.
Yes.
Because when you buy your own home, you're not buying it with an investor ROI hat on.
No, you are going for the things you like about a house, which doesn't necessarily make for a good investment property.
Yeah, you're buying it with your emotions and your feelings.
And the houses around here are a classic example of that. All the houses here are not good rental properties. Well, and no one would ever buy one for a rental property. It's like someone who owns a house that is working away for a few years to come back to because they're awful investment properties.
I think so. I mean, the only reason I'd buy a house around here as an investment property is if they didn't do the work out the ROI first.
Yeah.
If they were literally buying it with, oh, I like the area, and oh, it's... So that's the sort of thing that they'd think if they're buying an investment property around here. Interestingly, the property... We'll talk about that, but the property that my mom has just rented to live
yeah.
in... They actually did buy that as an investment, which yeah, I thought was weird.
Yeah, I did, because that's very unheard of around yeah. here.
And it's like a £1.4 million house.
The only thing I can... She said it was a pastor of a church. All I can picture is that they're going to be moving into it at some point. The plan is to move into it at some point.
Yeah.
A bit like, remember when we had Mulberry and we rented that and they said, we've bought it from overseas, but in 2 years we're...
Planning on moving yeah. in. Or I suppose the other one was Woodlands, where we lived, and they'd bought that with the planted... Oh, it was a massive house, yeah. like 500 square metres.
To downsize.
To downsize into. And they lived, obviously, in an even bigger mansion somewhere. But yeah, and if you're buying your home to live in, you're going to care about the area. Yeah. You're going to care about so many things. You're going to care about how many bedrooms it's got. You're going to care about how big the garden is. You're going to care about...
If you want an office.
If you want an office. Is there a good school nearby? All this yeah. stuff, which is really important if you're living there. So it's not like it's just feelings, just emotions. No, it's important stuff. But it's not important when it comes to, is it a good investment property?
Yeah.
So if you're buying properties for investment, you need to know, is it a good investment? So how do you do that? You work out the return on investment. So what's a return on investment? Very, very simple. And different people use different, you know, ROI is one thing. Other people use yield, which I don't think is the best for property investing because yield looks at the property amount, the whole property. Whereas with property, unlike other investments, you can use leverage and mortgages and stuff like that, which we'll get onto later. But basically, the ROI is how much money have you put in? So let's say, all in all, to buy a property, you put in 100 grand. We'll keep the maths nice and simple. 100 grand I put into this deal. Then how much money, profit, does it give you in the first year? So let's say you rented it out as a HMO and you made 20 grand back in the first year. You'd go, right, I put 100 grand in. In my first year, I made 20 grand back. You just divide 20 by 100, it's 20% of what you put in, it's a 20% ROI. And if you can make a 20% ROI, I think that's on something that you're buying.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good deal. That was the benchmark when we first got into property, 20%. With the way buy-to-lets have gone at the moment, I mean, if you're making 5% ROI on a buy-to-let, you're probably... you're probably doing quite well because of how interest rates have gone up, which is why you need to dive into creative strategies. You need to be diving into things like, I talk about this a lot, but HMOs, service accommodation, social housing, because you can't rely on the typical buy-to-let model to work when you've got such high mortgage expenses.
Yeah.
So that's the ROI. That's the first thing. Any investment you're looking at, whether it's gold, stocks and shares, crypto, S&P 500, property, whatever it is, you always want to be looking at, okay, what is my ROI? What is my return on investment? And that's especially when it comes to property, because it's so easy when you're buying property to get swayed by other stuff, especially if you're trying to kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
So I always say, don't kill two birds with one stone. It's your first tip.
I think another really important thing when you're getting started, which is as important as that, is educating yourself on the subject, because like you say, it could be any subject, but in property, because you can make some big errors. And if you do, they can be very costly in property because you're playing with big numbers. You're not talking, oh, I lost a fiver when I did that wrong. You could really screw up if you didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah.
So I think educating yourself is really important.
Yeah,
when you're starting out.
I agree. You definitely want to know what you're doing. You want a plan in place. You want to know how you're going to rent it out.
Yeah.
You want to do your due diligence beforehand. So if you're going to rent out a service accommodation, is it going to work, accommodation? How can we check that? How can we go and run the numbers and look at comparables, look what's around, what's already working? Yeah, 100%. You definitely want to educate yourself.
And there's loads of ways to do that. Watching YouTube videos, books, courses. I mean, the list is endless, isn't it? There's absolutely, nowadays, there's loads of ways to educate yourself.
It's interesting though, isn't it? Because let's say, you know, property investment is one of the most lucrative professions on the planet. If you look at the Sunday Times rich list, which is all the richest families, I think over 30% of them, not just invest in property, because they probably all invest in property, but over 30% have actually made their money through property.
Yeah.
So it's a massive industry. And any other industry that was that good and that you're making that much money, you know, let's say if you're a doctor or if you're a lawyer, you wouldn't just go, oh, I'm just going to have a bash at being a doctor.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'll just give it a go. Have you done an operation before? No, I've not done one, but you know, I'm sure how difficult it'd be. I watched a YouTube video showing you how to do it. It's like, yeah, of course, things like YouTube videos are great, but I also think, you know, being around people, going to networking events, training.
Yeah.
Obviously, we run, well, might as well do a little plug for it now, Property Investors Crash Course. You can spend a whole day with Samuel, that normally runs it, is a fantastic property trainer, myself, the team, whole day for a quid, right? It's like, you'd be crazy to not come along. So I'll leave a link in the bio. I'll leave a link below. Make sure you come and check that out. But definitely educate yourself. Definitely know what you're doing. But what I was going to say is interesting as well is with property, if you stay in the game long enough, you shouldn't lose money.
Yeah.
So you can lose a lot of money if you're playing with big money. But you normally only lose money when you sell. Right? So if you buy a property, even if you mess it up, if you buy a property, let's say the only way I can really think of messing it up, if you bought one and you end up refurbing it and it costs more to buy and refurb it than it's even worth, for example, right? But if you stay in the game long enough and you don't sell it and you hold on to it, it will eventually go up in value, right? So the only way you'd lose money, and we talked about your dad and how he lost money on his property, kind of. He actually broke even pretty much, right? But how he lost money was he bought it because he was trying to kill two birds in one stone. Then it went down in value because of the 2008 recession, which can happen.
Yeah, and if he'd hung on to it long enough,
it'd have been fine. But he didn't want to be a landlord, so he sold it and lost money.
Yeah.
Right? What he actually did was he actually put on a lease option at the... I think he broke even
cause
but he was annoyed because it had gone up so much and he lost money on it, kind of in his head, even though technically he actually hadn't. But he definitely didn't make any money on it. He probably overall did lose something on it, right? So you can lose money, but only when you sell. If you'd have held on to it, it'd be fine.
Yeah.
Right. So my next, I suppose, tip is, you remember, it's always going to go up in value. I don't plan really on ever selling any properties.
No. I think that's a good way to go.
Yeah. I'd rather just keep hold of them. refinance them every now and again.
Yeah, I don't know what...
pulling the money out. And you know what the cool thing about that is as well? When you refinance it, and let's say you bought a property for 100 grand, sold it for 200 grand, made 100 grand profit. You have to pay tax on that. If you bought it for a company, you're paying corp tax, 25%. If you bought it through a personal name, you're paying capital gains tax, which is 24%, I think, at the moment. So pretty much either way, a quarter of it is gone on tax. If you wait for it to go up to 200 grand and then you get a new mortgage on it, you can pull out, in that case, you pull out 50 grand, but it'd be tax-free.
Yeah.
It's like, why on earth would you? And then you've still got the asset. It's going to go up again.
Yeah.
You can do it again.
Yeah.
And again, it just makes sense, right? So don't, and I suppose next tip is you only lose money when you sell. Don't sell. And when it goes up in value, refinance it. Next thing I'd say is, and I suppose this goes for anything really, is you just want to start small.
Yeah.
Don't feel, the amount of people I see that come along and they're like, oh, I want to do development.
Yeah.
And it's like, chill.
Yeah, just do.
You know, the first property we bought, it was like a maisonette. It was 70 grand. We're doing developments where we're turning commercial buildings into 48 apartments, which is the project we're doing right now. We didn't start with that.
No. And that's what I mean by educate yourself. Because actually, the first time you buy a property, there's a lot of paperwork, the solicitors. And if you're not used to that, once you know what you're doing, then it's fine. But, you know...
can be quite daunting.
So if you start on a smaller... to go just full force into a big development deal, I think you just wouldn't know what you were letting yourself in for. I think you've got to start small so you know what... you know, you find your feet and you have a go, you see what it's all about before you move on to the bigger.
Well, it's kind of part of the education process as well. You said mention educate yourself, because you can educate yourself by watching YouTube videos, going to networking events, doing training. But ultimately, it's like driving a car, right? If you're driving a car and learn to drive, you're going to do it with someone else, you're going to learn, you're not going to go and do it on your own. You want to educate yourself to a point first, but ultimately,
you've got to go
and give it a go. Yeah. So you want to give it a go when I was learning to drive, I wasn't driving around in a sports car that cost 150 grand because I've only just got started. I started small.
Yeah.
I started with a £500 Fiesta because I knew I was going to make mistakes.
And like they say, the 17-year-olds that they put in sports cars tend to crash them.
Well, 17-year-olds you put in any car tend to
crash them.
I might have crashed. Did I crash maybe like once or twice?
Wow, I think you wrote off our first five cars. Yes, you did.
First five?
Yeah. So you both your mum's Fiestas.
She only had one Fiesta.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Which was the one that we were talking about the other day with her.
That was her Fiesta, yeah.
That you sped onto the drive, reversing, smashed all the side up, and then said, oh, I was going so slow. I don't know how that happened.
I don't know how it damaged it so much. Yeah, no, I did right. But that's the point, though. I started off with small cars, and in the same, and I made mistakes. And I learned...
quite a few.
And
took you a while.
Once I could handle a Fiesta, I could...
crash a Corsa.
Crash a Corsa.
And then the Megane.
All right.
And then the Ford Focus. And then there was one after that as well. So five?
Oh, I can't remember. Anyway.
I bet you can't.
Long story short, start small... Build your way up, and then you can handle bigger projects, bigger properties.
Yeah.
You know, and this is actually one of the reasons why I think rent to rent is so good. Because if you're doing rent to rent, you learn so much. You learn how to negotiate the deal. You learn how to book viewings. You learn how to deal with landlords. You learn how to deal with tenants. You learn how to manage, you know, a cash flowing property. You learn all these things, but you're not actually risking that much.
Yeah,
you're not putting that. You know, yeah, you might have a couple of grand sunk into it or something, right? But we're not talking a 200 grand asset that you've got, and you're practicing and you're learning about all, and deal selling is the same. So I think starting off, if you're new to it, with smaller projects and even rent to rent, is a brilliant way of dipping your toe in the water and testing it before you actually go and start spending a load of money. Because you get better at everything that you do.
Yeah, of course.
And starting small makes absolute sense. All right. Next top tip if you're getting started in property is leverage. Excuse me.
Oh, dear, man.
Just the thought of leverage. Leverage. You want to be able to use leverage. So what do I mean by that? Potentially you could be using other people's money. You could be doing joint ventures. You could be using bridging finance. There's so much access to other money that isn't your own that you can tap into and use to invest. As long as you're still making money on it, happy days, right?
Yeah.
So the very first deal I bought, I got a mortgage, obviously, which is leverage. But then I borrowed the money for the deposit from an investor.
Yeah.
And it was actually a no money down deal.
Yeah.
We've still got that property.
Yeah,
that's the one we were just talking about, the little Masonette, right?
Yeah.
We use that using none of our own money. How do you do that? Through leverage, which I think is a definitely a massively underused skill. I think people are often scared of debt.
Yeah, I would say that's true.
But if you look at someone, we watched the Donald Trump movie recently, and it was amazing how good he actually was at getting other people to lend him money.
Yeah.
Even like getting the tax man to give him a break and getting these investors on board. And he managed to build this huge building. Now, obviously, you don't have to do it to that scale, because if you ever do use leverage, you are at a bit of risk if you're borrowing the money, because you'll need to pay it back. But if you can use it on, again, start small, some smaller deals, get a joint venture partner in. It could be for even for a rent-to-rent.
Yeah.
They lend you the money for a rent-to-rent. Yeah. You set it up, you get it started, bang, no money down deal.
Yeah.
Make cash flow, pay them back, etc. But I think doing deals with other people, utilizing other people's money, is definitely a top tip for anyone that's getting started in property. It's definitely something that we have done plenty of. And I think, I suppose the last point I think, again, is really important, is having a goal.
Yeah.
Why are you actually doing this? What's the plan? I think people that make a plan and then have targets that they're going to hit are way more likely to succeed than people that are just like, oh yeah, I kind of want to get into property. I'll just hang around. I want to know what I'm doing. I think if you've got a definite plan, this is what I want. This is why. This is how I'm going to do it. How many people do we see that have got like vision boards and stuff, and then you see them go on to hit?
Yeah, I was about to bring up about vision boards.
Go on, tell us what you're going to say.
Well, it's mad when you actually look in. When I was first told about vision boards, I was a little bit like, really, what? You put a picture up and then all your dreams come true. Sounds a bit...
Okay.
Yeah. But then the amount of autobiographies I've read from successful people, but not just successful property, but like across the board. Even I remember one of the Little Mix girls wrote it in her book and she was like, I had a vision board and I was like, this was the life I was going to live. I was going to become a pop star. I was going to live in this kind of house, drive these cars. And I just brought it to life. And I was like, wow, like, that's crazy. Like, across the board, people are saying vision boards work. And it is so true. And we tell loads of, like, our academy members about it, our staff, and the amount of people that do it. And it's all to do, obviously, with you focus and you bring it to life, basically, because you're focused and you're driven. But it's crazy how it works.
Yeah, it's what you put your attention to, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's just honing in, this is what I want to do.
It's just constantly there reminding you, this is, it's not like a magic power.
No.
It's not like, oh yeah, put that on the wall, suddenly I'm going to get it. But if you spell out in your mind, well, and then obviously put it to pen to paper on what it is. It's like they did a study in Harvard, and they said, they got people to, they were like, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was Harvard University, and they were like, right, what we want you to do is, how many of you here have got a goal of what you want to achieve? And like, you know, X percentage had. It's like, okay, and how many of you have written down that goal and got it written down already, and another percentage of them had done it and some hadn't. And then when they made a note of it and they went like 20 years later to see the success levels of those people, and the ones that wrote it down were much more successful than the ones that just had a goal.
Yeah.
And the ones that just had a goal were more successful than the ones that didn't.
Yeah.
It's just something about consciously making yourself aware of what you want on a regular basis.
And I think the truth is a lot of people don't know why they're doing it. I think when you ask people, you want to get into property, why? They're almost family. And you're like, well, what do you mean by that? And they actually don't know. They haven't actually figured out their why. And I think if you haven't figured out your why, then that really hinders you in getting anywhere.
Yeah.
If you don't know why you're doing or what purpose or motivation you've got for doing what you're doing, I think that's a big stumbling block for a lot of people. But it is mad, isn't it, when at the crash course they're asked their why, and how many people can't actually answer that?
Yeah, I don't know. Why are you here? I want to learn about property. Oh, that's brilliant. Why? I want to make more money. Okay, great.
Why?
Because the thing is, if you don't know, if it's not like clear to you, this is why I'm doing it, when it gets tough or whatever,
It was a bit harder than I thought. Forget it.
Because it isn't easy. You know, we talk about, people say, oh, property investing, everyone makes it sound so easy. It isn't easy, but nothing's easy.
No.
You know, it's everything's hard. Everything worthwhile doing is hard.
And has its ups and downs, good days, bad days. Nothing's ever smooth sailing all the time.
And I think what the problem a lot of people have, and this is with anything, not just property investing, anyone that starts a new business, you'll see people, right? People are doing like a multi-level marketing business. Or, I'm doing Avon, or I'm doing Utility Warehouse. And they're really excited about it.
Yeah.
And then it gets a bit hard.
You run out of leads.
And then give up.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if you're and this is why educating yourself is actually really important as well, because not only do you need to know what to do and the steps, but if you don't and you're trying to figure it out, it's demotivating.
Yeah.
Because if you're just I've tried this, that didn't work. Whereas if you've seen other people that have done exactly, okay, how did they do it then? And being around other people, I think that's a big one actually as well. Your environment, being around other people that are succeeding, seeing that other people do.
We were talking about this with Ricky today, weren't we?
Yeah.
You know, the guy you used to do the podcast with.
The guy, Ricky. You might have seen Ricky. I mean, Ricky's a great guy, but he's just, so unreliable as a podcast host.
I'm the new Ricky.
I know, the new Ricky.
But we were talking about that today with him, about being around the right people, how much it elevates you.
Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it, the difference when you're around like-minded people and you all build each other up. I think that's really so important.
And you set the expectations that it becomes the new norm.
Yeah.
Like you're very highly influenced by the people that you hang around with. Yeah. So if you're hanging around with loads of people that are buying properties, doing rent-to-rents, making money, that motivates you to do it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're around people that are just like, I just want to chill on the weekends. Don't talk to me about property and stuff. It's like, it would bum you out. And it'll make you stop. I think you can get a lot of that through what you listen to, what you read about as well.
Yeah,
but I think
do.
I think your friends and your network are massively important. And that's kind of all part of the education.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole subject in itself, isn't it, about who you surround yourself with. But I think it is very important.
Yeah, I agree. So I suppose to sort of summarise then, if you're looking at getting into property, number one, most important thing, whatever you do, buy with the ROI in mind.
Yeah.
It's all about the ROI. Number two, you've got to educate yourself. You've got to know what you're doing. You've got to know where to look. You've got to know how you're going to rent it out, how you're going to make money from it, how to analyse a deal. All this stuff's super important as well. Number three, you've got to... What were the other points? I'm sure there were more.
We only had two.
I tried to summarise it. I was thinking, I can't actually remember what we talked about. So you've got to educate yourself. You've got to start small.
Start small,
Yeah, build your way up. Start with rent.
Leverage.
And then lastly, especially once you've got started, you want to be able to use leverage, joint ventures, team up with other people. I think if you do those things and you put yourself in the right environment about the right people and you realise that this is a business, not a hobby.
Yeah.
Property investing is not a hobby, it's a business. And like any business, you've got to take it seriously. I think if you do those things, you're going to put yourself in a really good opportunity to succeed. And like I mentioned earlier, come on down to the Property Investors Crash Course. We'd love to help you if you're getting started on your journey. We'd love to educate you. We'd love to work with you. We'd love to give you a network of people that you can hang around with and be inspired by. So click the link below. And hope you enjoyed this week's show. I've been Russell Leeds.
I'm Anna Leeds.
And we'll see you next week.